from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life, some days are good and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work, both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Good morning, Metroplex. Sean Treif and Bobby Belt.
As hump the day?
It's not hump day, and we are getting some
every day's hump day.
Peyton Russell love,
yes,
in the commercial breaks.
It's very off-putting. It was very upsetting. Yeah, Ozzy and Alexis, they came up here. Alexis, who is on her way to teach at Sewell Elementary this morning, and they wanted to say, they were like, where's Peyton? And I was like, he's not important enough to be here. His ratings are not good enough. His segments have really slipped, I'd say. But they wanted to hop on the headset and tell Peyton every Thursday, 6:40, they're pumped about the payload. And so they were the two who replied to the survey and said that they liked it. And that's where that is. So congratulations, Peyton. It took 9 firehouses before somebody wanted to talk to you.
I think that's a lie. I think plenty of Tolos have asked for my request.
You do get asked
there
about just about every single firehouse, actually.
All right, so there's Pepe getting the love and respect. Our final Cat Williams ticket giveaway is coming up at 7:20. We are out here in Saxe at the Firehouse, 5805 Bryan Street, up until 10 a.m. Jake DeGrom back. His first rehab outing is in the books. 2 innings. 2 hits, 1 earned, 0 walks, 3 strikeouts, and the fastball apparently was touching 100 with some type of intrigue left for the Rangers season. Jacob DeGrom trying to make it fully back.
Yeah, and so I got a chance to see, because everybody was clearly excited about this start and excited about what DeGrom can do, there were a lot of videos being shared on social media yesterday.
Dude, the only Ranger highlights left are all pitching. It's Leiter, Rocker, DeGrom.
Honestly, yeah. Or like if Langford finally clicks, that'd be great, which he's had his moments. But DeGrom was – he looked good, but I also saw the first strikeout he had of the game. And I was like, yeah, that's when Jacob DeGrom is pitching against double-A hitters. And you can clearly see that they're not
– what was it?
It's just – it was stuff – swinging at trash, like a fastball that was way up and out of the zone, something that was way in the dirt. Now obviously, I think – from learning, when you hear pitchers talk about the chess game and what you're looking for and what you're expecting, you can obviously say, like, maybe DeGrom set him up and just made him look a little more foolish, but it looked like DeGrom wasn't even hitting exactly where he wanted to be on those first couple throws, and it was something that they swung at the garbage.
We have a firing in the American League West. We talked about the plummeting of the Seattle Mariners. Scott Servais is gone. Done. Let's talk about the downfall.
Yeah, and look, I think that Scott Servais was what was
it? Is it Service? Service?
Service.
Service?
Yeah, Scott
Servais.
Scott Servais was
Thank you for your service.
He was the he was like top 5 in the AL back at the beginning of June in Vegas odds for manager of the year. He was like plus 1500 and was, I think, 4th. And he just has an absolute collapse here where ever since like June 17th, they were up on June 18th, 10 games
Woo!
On the Astros. They were up 10 games in the AL West. Exactly 1 month later, they were tied in the AL. And that's just, that's not going to be acceptable. Now,
right now, they've lost 3 in a row, 2-8 in their last 10. They are back down at 500, even after trying to make some moves as well. They got a Rosarena, right?
Yeah, and they just were like, they've been awful. They've lost 8-9, I think it is, leading up to this decision. Scott Service was...
I mean, I just said 2-8, but yeah, go ahead. He's counting.
Scott Service was a guy who was MLB player for a decade, and then he transitioned over into player personnel, like front office stuff. He did stuff here for the Texas Rangers as director of player development for 7 years, 2004 to 2010. So he was here during the first World Series run, and then he got a job as the assistant general manager with the Angels and had his run there before transitioning over into being a manager in 2016 with the Mariners. And so part of me does wonder.
And they just got swept by the Dodgers. So at first I thought it was Angels when I saw L.A. I was like, all right, that makes sense. You got swept by the Angels, you got to go. But they're like, no, even against the mighty Dodgers, you're still done.
Yeah, you can't just be – you can't be up 10 and we're 2 months later and you're down as far as you are in the AL West. And so it does make me wonder, does he just walk away completely now, or does somebody around baseball look at Scott Service and say, well, he could – be useful in a front office. We still believe in what he was as a talent evaluator and in developing certain guys. And if that's the case, if you do feel that way, do you end up saying, okay, does Texas want to give him a call? Like, would Texas be interested at all in, hey, this is somebody who had a history of, you know, contributing to our player development in a really positive way leading up to us getting to the World Series. Is that somebody that Chris Young would say, hey, we're still evolving and trying to find the right guys to bring us along, and maybe Scott Service is part of that.
Rangers will be back in action tonight against the first-place Guardians. They're playing 500 ball, basically, but they're in first place in the American League Central, 2 games up on the Twins and the Royals, and that could be the most fun race left in all of baseball. You could argue it's the Orioles and the Yankees in the East. There's a game and a half of separation. But you got 2 teams that are 2 games back with KC, the Twins, trying to catch Cleveland. No team in the National League is closer than 4 games back. So things are pretty much settled in the East and the Central. The Diamondbacks trail the Dodgers by 4.
And, you know, you still got the Rangers in the hunt for the AL wild card,
okay.
Sean. And so this is a heavy,
like
there's a lot of weight on this series here for the Texas Rangers.
What's the wild card distance? They're 10.5 back in the West. What's the wild card?
14.
Are you guessing or are you telling me?
Yeah, oh, I thought you were.
You're the one who brought up the wild card as a possibility, so why would you not have the wild card?
Because I was trolling. You think I actually think that? I thought the Rangers should have sold 2 months ago.
12.5.
They're 12, yeah, I just saw it.
12.5 back. All right, we had Bears, Chiefs last night, preseason football, Cowboys, Chargers tomorrow night on the station. And while we're talking about all the rest of the preseason games and the NFL regular season coming up, let's kind of revisit the rules and how everyone is reacting to them.
Yeah, and this is something where I had honestly forgot about one of these rules. It had completely slipped my mind. We've all seen the NFL kickoff rule, and that's something where the numbers there have completely flipped from last year. So last year, 22% of kickoffs were returned in 2023. So far through the first couple weeks of the preseason, 78% of the kickoffs have been run out of the end zone.
So this is exactly what they designed it for.
Yep.
To make the kickoff a non-bathroom play.
Yeah, that's pretty much the exact phrase I heard. I had talked to somebody with the league at one point, and they had said that the whole idea from the commissioner's office is, I want no wasted plays. Like, there's nothing about our game that's going to be considered a freebie or something where you don't have to tune in. And, you know, they've done that with the extra point, trying to make that a little more make that a little more intense, bring that a little more high leverage to that. And then on the kickoffs, they're trying to do the same thing. They were tired of the ball just being kicked out of bounds and meaning nothing. And so the option was, you either eliminate the play or you do something to bring it back. And they wanted to bring it back, and it's worked to this point. Now, I'm going to be confused all year, I feel like. About, like, okay, wait, what is that supposed to be? Where's the ball supposed to be? What is this? How does this fall down? The little highlighted drop zone and everything else is a total headache to this point. But despite that confusion, I love the excitement of a kickoff return. Like, I loved growing up watching, you know, Dante Hall run back kicks, or Devin Hester, or, you know, here in Dallas, Reggie Swinton loved Reggie Swinton or Kelvin Martin or Kevin Williams. Like, that's an exciting play to me, and it can be a real advantage. You can have a real weapon there, and that's hopefully what Kevontae Turpin is. But that has returned there and is actually being used again as a play. ESPN also writes about the hip drop tackle.
Oh, me and you. One of the rare times we agree with each other.
And they mentioned to it, it's largely been invisible during the preseason to this point. And they're right, because I, as much as I was upset by it, maybe it looks different once we get into regular season play.
I don't think it proves that we are wrong if it's not being called.
Yeah, no, but I think he's right about it's been invisible so far. Like, we're not seeing. I thought there was going to be too much. Like, I thought there was going to be such an emphasis that
over policing.
Yeah, that it was going to be, you know, you're getting pulled over for going 46 in a 45 kind of thing. And so I was concerned that was going to be the case. It's not so far. In the preseason, it hasn't been treated the way emphasis on holding or emphasis on roughing the quarterback or any of those have been treated in the past. So I honestly forgot that this was even something that we were analyzing because it hasn't popped up in these games. Now, does the season start and it's different and it starts being policed differently? We'll have to see. But at least early on, I'm glad the play is as anonymous as it is, and it seems like it's actually going to be implemented just for potentially, you know, injuring players.
877-881-1053 is the Franklin LaFranco Injury Attorney text line. Of course, the big news yesterday, it broke during KMC. Jahan Dotson is a new weapon for the Philadelphia Eagles and Jalen Hurts. So
Jalen Hurts.
The Commanders and the Eagles making a trade. That's not an Eagle shirt I see way down there walking up here, right? That looks like Philly green. I can already spot it. I can see it.
It's some sort of green. I can't tell if it's
Philly. Is that Jets?
Maybe it's Jets. It's hard to see.
They're looking at us pointing at them right now.
There is a green shirt down there.
I don't think that's Eagles with the lettering. My eyesight is that good. But that is Eagles colors. Plus, he's got a broken foot, broken left foot. So, I don't know. Would an Eagle fan have the broken foot or cause the broken foot?
Maybe it's a Jets shirt, and he's wearing the cast out of sympathy for Aaron Rodgers.
Oh.
That could be it.
Okay. Dan Orlovsky, listen
God.
Up, Bobby.
Why?
Says that Philly now has the best wide receiver trio in the NFL.
Well, I think this is now giving Philadelphia the best wide receiver trio in football. I mean, the Eagles have the best wide receiver trio with A.J. Brown, Devontae, and Jahan Dotson. This was a really good offense to begin with. If Dotson just replicates what he did, which is 50 or so catches and 500 yards at that number three wide receiver spot, I don't know of anybody in the NFC that can line up and play man-to-man coverage against those four pass catchers.
Just say it's great. Great analysis.
No, it's not. He's an idiot, and I don't believe he has the slightest bit of courage of conviction in anything that comes out of his mouth, whether it be about his daughters and his family or his profession or his major in college.
All right, but
everything about him is made up. He is an NPC who got famous somehow, and I don't understand it.
Give me the better weapons in the NFC, then. Prove him wrong.
San Francisco. San Francisco's got better weapons immediately off the top.
Without Ayuk?
Yeah, even without Ayuk, but I mean they've got Ayuk right now anyway.
Okay, Ayuk, Debo, McCaffrey,
Pearsall, and Kittle.
Now, did he say wide receiver trio?
He said wide receiver trio.
Twisting your argument to include the tight end.
No, I mean, I think pass catchers. If we're talking about
and the running back,
else. But if you look at even the receivers, Devontae Smith is a clear two.
Yes.
Like a clear, there's no question. Like, would you take the, you're saying NFC, but I wouldn't take the Dolphins.
I'm not saying NFC. I'm listening to the clip. Orlovsky said the NFC. Best wide receiver trio. So take out the tight end, take out the running back. Wide receivers.
No.
You're still taking San Fran.
Yes.
And, but come on. Let's have a fair, if Ayuk is not there, you can't say San Francisco. Let's not be Bobby here, okay?
All right, fine.
But they do have.
I won't be Bobby. But fine, give me what they have in Los Angeles with Kupp and Nacua and Van Jefferson and guys out there.
Okay. Did you have to think, exercise that, dig deep?
Took a sec. I was going, who's all in the NFC West? I was having to scroll through. Give me the Seahawks, Tyler Lockett, DK Metcalf, and Jackson Smith and Jigba. Give me all that.
Live on the Fan Cam, Twitch, and YouTube. It's Sean and Bobby. Thanks to Tolo's rolling out. We still got the awesome breeze. I see that some coffee and extra breakfast is being delivered. I see some glassware for the beers for you to go ahead and pour this weekend. Where are we at with the flasks? We still got some? All right, we got one flask remaining.
By the way, I don't remember who the third receiver is in L.A. It's not Van Jefferson anymore.
I know.
He left.
I knew you were already you were. That's how I can tell.
Nacua and Kupp are better anyway. It doesn't matter.
Did Ruben tell you that?
Ruben showed you. I was like, oh, yeah, he's not there anymore.
There y'all go. You see the dig-in.
But no,
That's the broadest dig-in versus you being like.
Did I just say I was wrong? I said I was wrong.
Ruben had to tell you.
But
you were going to correct yourself. You weren't even checking where Van Jefferson was.
I interrupted you to tell you I was wrong.
Yes, you did interrupt, which don't ever do it again. All right, we're live on the Fan Cam, Twitch, and YouTube. We have our final Cat Williams ticket giveaway to hook you up with. Will you win it like Christopher did the other day? Peyton's going to hook you up with that. And how Micah Parsons, he heard the noise, did he? How Micah Parsons tried to become a better leader this offseason. Are you buying it? Commercial-free expressway is live from Saxy right after this on The Fan.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique, and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Shout outs out here in Saxy as the Firehouse Store continues.
Yep, we have Eric from the Twitch, very popular Twitch user. EJL or ELJ, I always forget. EJL Viking on the Twitch. We have Brian and Wiley, David and Midlothian. They both came out. I saw Jason Michaels was up here too. Big Meat Church fan. So yeah, people still pouring out, coming out.
He's got a dog issue.
Oh no!
Yeah, had a pit bull encounter early this morning, and I'm supporting him. Had the this very, very polarizing, dangerous topic.
Yeah,
which you know we usually don't like to do. unleashed pit bull coming at him and his dog this morning, so we got problems in the hood.
Yeah, that's no good. But I
almost
saw
had another Zeke incident or Dak, whichever dog it was.
Dude, I saw a video last night while I was scanning Reddit and looking for show stuff, and there was some video of a pit bull that was allowed to run free in the middle of like Yellowstone. I got a bison just went and flipped that fool into the air.
What?
Yeah.
From Yellowstone, the movie?
No, like Yellowstone, like National Park or something. I don't know.
I thought you were binge watching this now that Kristen is trying to make you watch Yellowstone.
Yeah, she's trying to get me to watch Yellowstone for a secret that we can discuss in the future.
Palmer is also showing up from Palmer's Hot chicken and shrimp. You can now see them at the State Fair of Texas. And he has created, for the Tolos, the Nashville Hot Chicken Pancake Poppers. And their money.
Yeah, which they're warming up right now. They're about to be distributed out here to the crowd.
Now,
here,
how are you with spice?
I love hot stuff.
Okay, this has like a perfect amount of spice. It's not, if you're, Ruben, I think you would support me on this. We're both brown, so we can speak on spice. If you can't handle spice, it may get you a little bit. Like it's probably like a four out of 10 on the spice scale. If you don't love spice, maybe a 6 out of 10, but it's basically a fried pancake inside with Nashville hot chicken and cheese, and then the syrup actually cuts it with the powdered sugar on top. That's my fellow foodie, Ruben, who I trust. I think I did a decent job explaining that, but they're being served up a la carte.
It looks fantastic. I know Boss Man Spittle's opinion of eating while I'm on the air, and so I'm not going to do that.
Oh, has he talked to you about that?
Not to me, but I've been in the meeting before where it's been like, guys, let's not have a mouthful of food. It hasn't been me. I've heard the feedback, though, so I'm not going to do it. It may or may not have been towards someone whose name rhymes with Mike Bassick.
Oh, yeah.
But, you know, I basically try to learn from what feedback does Mike Bassick get, and then I learn from it.
We got the Starbucks out here. We got the beer glasses for the weekend. The Grande is also showing up. It's a fan party with Sean and RJ on the road. Choppy will be back on Monday.
And what? I believe we are going, like, without getting into specifics, I think we're going to have another surprise giveaway here to hand out to Tolos here later on this morning.
8 o'clock?
Yeah, I believe 8 o'clock is when we're going to have some other stuff to hand out.
Okay. Let's talk about Micah Parsons' leadership, a humongous story, starting with the loss against the Green Bay Packers, where some felt Micah wasn't accountable, didn't stick around, didn't want to answer all the tough questions, and then a very tumultuous, is that too strong? A very eventful offseason with Micah Parsons in the news.
Yeah, he had a – look, all offseason, there have been rumblings. I think you are the one who is responsible for these rumblings, Sean, solely. Because, look, when you say something into a microphone on 105 through the fan, that carries weight, and it reaches a lot of ears and a lot of people. But there was talk a lot this offseason about the idea about – yeah, I know. I did. There's a lot of discussion about...
Okay, listen. Mm-hmm. When I show you my phone, mm-hmm. that's not... Like, we're trying to keep that off the air. Like, I think that you... I give you credit that you can do two things at once. Peyton texted, Bobby, you got kicked from the Zoom. I just showed it to you for you to log back in, and you're like, yeah, you're right. I know.
Stream of consciousness.
Like, be a radio pro.
I'm not that. That's been communicated to me several times by different folks. But... The offseason for Micah was a bad PR offseason.
Yeah.
And look, I'll be honest, whenever we've talked about some of the issues about Micah's leadership or other things, and some people have gotten upset by that, I'll just say that the feedback from other individuals has been, well, you guys are not far off about some of the issues that have existed for him here in Dallas, and it's just been a lot of growth. I would say it's similar to the growth Ezekiel Elliott had to go through early in his career, where Ezekiel Elliott had to grow.
You're
into
saying
the type
there has been growth, or there needs to be growth?
No, I think that Ezekiel Elliott grew into a leadership role, and yeah, you saw it building. And I hope some of what we see here is a good example of that kind of growth, and that he's getting into that. This was Calvin Watkins over at the Dallas Morning News writing that NFL OGs, not offensive guards, that would be original gangsters, Sean Sharif, in case you're not hip to the lingo, NFL OGs shifted Cowboys stars leadership approach. And so after the Cowboys' last full padded practice in SoCal on Wednesday, linebacker Micah Parsons met with reporters, and the discussion turned into a confessional. Parsons said he fell short in the leadership department last year and decided it's not going to happen again.
Wow.
I think that's big right there. He said, I think I got the crown, and I need to build up my guys around me and make sure we're all ready, he said. At the end of the day, I'm only as good as the worst person. He said it was during the Super Bowl when Parsons got a wake-up call. He was sitting around with the OGs of the NFL at Delilah Lounge inside the Wynn Las Vegas Hotel.
Delilah.
Delilah. When former cornerback Richard Sherman got on him about the Cowboys' playoff loss to the Packers. There was Andrew Whitworth, a recently retired offensive lineman, talking to Parsons about maturity. Parsons took everything to heart. During the offseason, Parsons also had discussions with Tom Brady. He talked to Brady at least four or five times. Parsons also had words with Ray Lewis, the top linebacker of all time, at the Pro Bowl. Parsons needed the conversations. He was in denial. That is Calvin Watkins' line. Micah says, I think it was a harsh reality and a reality check for me within myself and my self-evaluations. I got to do the best that I can, not only to make myself better, but bring along other guys, and I feel like I needed that. And I had the conversations early on, and you want to strike when the pot's hot. He said that he's trying to mentor Mozzie Smith right now. After some practices, the two conduct wind sprints together. Parsons has become Smith's biggest advocate to have a much better year, too. He also talked about, he said, I don't think no one really cares what I'm doing on Monday afternoon, talking about his podcast. He said, I'm at home with my kids. Why would fans care if I'm on Xbox? We all get free time. He turned it around to the media, said, I mean, you guys have your free time. What do you spend with? Are you always, he said, are you thinking about me when you're on your free time? I would hope not. That doesn't sound like that's very fun for you guys. Parsons is trying to become something different. He picked Brady and Lewis's minds for how to become great. Parsons realized from the conversations he can't do it alone. He said, I kind of went to my mentors this offseason. How do I approach this? How do I get better at this? This is a task I never had to take on in my life. I think that's important to remember, too. He's never had to be the leader like he's wanting to embrace right now. He says, I think my whole life I was pretty much Micah is going to do what Micah is going to do. I just expected everyone else to do that. As you learn leadership, some people need a pat on the back and some people need a push up. He said, if we lose, I just don't want to be like I didn't do everything I could to make everyone else around me better. I think last year I didn't check that box, and that's something I want everyone on the same level.
Applause. I'm gonna give some yes. Micah Parsons applause. I've been critical, obviously. I was in a little bit of some headlines earlier in the off season for some reports and relaying some information. But already he's off to a good start in doing something that people, especially guys, are unable, unwilling to do. Be like, I was getting it wrong, admitting it.
Yeah, I don't do that.
And no, you don't. Just admitting it to start off and then following up on it by talking to some NFL legends. Now let's see if it changes and let's see if it stays. But this is encouraging.
Yeah. No,
right, how much are you buying
it? Remember the Titans?
So it's tough. He says the right thing so many times throughout his career.
Yeah.
This is the first time I'll say this. This is the first time I've heard him say that he basically feels like he failed. Like he failed teammates. Normally when I hear him say, he's talking about, man, you know, we didn't do this. He's talking in a way that says, I didn't do enough to make guys better. The fact that he throws in Mike is going to do what Mike is going to do, which I think the context is important there because I'm not certain based on the way he said it. Does that sound to you like he's saying Mike is going to do what Mike is going to do? Like, hey, Mike is always going to be great. Or is he saying he was too often going it alone? I feel like he's saying he was going it alone because he also comes back on the other end and says, I got to check the box of making other guys better, and I didn't do that. And, look, I think there were times last year when you would see massive busts in the run game, assignments weren't going the way they needed to. I think a lot of times that was potentially a little bit of freelance Micah Parsons, where he was trying to rush the quarterback or he was trying to do something to make a play. His desire to make a play got in the way of doing what his assignment was. Do you remember the Hard Knocks segment? The very first episode, I think, or maybe the second one, where Micah is at the Hall of Fame game and he's on the bench and he's talking to Leighton Vander Esch and he tells him, like, man, I just, you know, I want to get over there. I want to be in the mix. And Leighton told him, he said, yeah, but you got to, I know you want to make every play, but you got to know which is your play to make. And that's something that I think Micah is still struggling with, is as good as he is and as dominant as he is,
yeah,
he doesn't always know which is your play to make. Or he doesn't.
Because it's a cool, funny story after the fact when Lawrence Taylor retires or, you know, I'm trying to think of another great where it's like, you know, well, I wasn't going to coach him. They're Lawrence Taylor. You go out and you do your own thing. And it's cool and funny when you're not talking about missed assignments because you're so great.
Yeah.
And you're a great player. And great players should not always follow and adhere to coaching 100% of the time. Your instinct, your greatness tells you, I need to freelance right here. I need to go away from this. That's the reason they make audibles for quarterbacks. So I get it. You're trying to judge like your own greatness versus the scheme and the system. But I think this is a really good piece, an important piece from Calvin Watkins. Now, there are people, and this is not just sports, it's at your job listening. You're either a natural leader, in my opinion, or you're not. I don't Right. know how much you can actually grow into it. Does Micah Parsons have leadership traits within him that just need to be sharpened, or are we forcing this?
No, I think that he's got – he's dynamic. He is – I think when you hear him speak, we've heard – I think talking to people, we were having conversations out in Oxnard, and how often were we hearing from people like, man, he's smart. Like, he's so smart. And
Mike Zimmer was telling us that.
Yeah, that, you know, we'll hear that he's super intelligent, and he's somebody who picks things up really quickly, and he's a good communicator. He has some, he says some stuff sometimes where you're like, damn, like he's a good public speaker. And
the stuff I worry about with Micah consistently being the leader is his poutiness.
Yeah.
He strikes me, and I hear that he can be a pouter, and I don't know, like, a lot of times, like, you got to put on the brave face. You got to stand up there and take the PR bullets.
Yeah.
You can't leave the locker room early. You can't get mad if you get a win and your stats are not great against the New York Giants. That none of that is leadership stuff.
Yeah.
He's young. You know, we got to throw that in there. Got to be fair to him, but I don't think the pouting can happen as often as what I've heard in the past.
Yeah, and the pouting occurred after – the pouting definitely occurred after the Green Bay game, and in a way that I think didn't sit well with a lot of teammates. And when
– did you think him and Tank were going to be a thing, and did that get overshadowed by Micah and Malik over the podcast comments? With the whole conditioning and gassed and tired, what we were talking about at the Super Bowl.
I think there was tension there. I think that and I think it's been smoothed over in a lot of ways. But I think that there was it crossed a line. I think to some people, the amount of pouting enough that when Mike is at the Super Bowl, Richard Sherman and Andrew Whitworth took notice and felt they needed to say something to him. Like, dude, can't do that. Got to grow up a little bit. And some of that is. I think some of that is out there on the record. Some of it's not. But, I mean, I think that there was a lot of guys within the team that felt like, hey, you didn't make that the fallout from that game any easier. And I think Micah learned from that. And it sounds like he's saying the right things. It sounds like he's in the right spot. It's you hope that that's something that continues, that this isn't just talk. This is something where he's able to then actually apply it.
All right, let's run through some power rankings before we get to ours during the regular season. It's Sean Treif and Bobby Belt with the morning show on the road. The Firehouse Tour continuing in Sachse, 5805 Bryan Street. Bryan Street, correct?
Yes, Bryan Street.
Rolling out here up until 10 o'clock as Palmer's Hot Chicken and Shrimp is serving up the breakfast. And he's flash frying these to order.
Yeah.
Right here. He's just bringing them out to order to all the Tolos. Did y'all like it? Did you think it was good? I think it's a money dish. It's got sweet. It's got spice. It's savory.
I'm really fighting not getting a mouthful because I really want to eat it right now.
We have our Cat Williams. You chose the wrong time, Expressway. You're stuck for 35
I know.
Minutes.
I'm taking a bite. Sorry. You're going to have to deal with this.
There you go. Gavin Spittle, note this, sir. Boss, if you're watching on the Fan Camp, Twitch, and YouTube. You know what? Let's give Bobby a bite break by hooking you up with the final Cat Williams tickets. Let's see if anyone here in the parking lot can win this calling in on the phone right now.
All right, Tolos, right now, call our number 10 at 877-881-1053 wins a pair of tickets to see Cat Williams at the Windstar World Casino and Resort on September 27th. That's call our number 10 at 877-881-1053.
Bob, what's your review? Did the spice hit you?
It's the right amount. It's just a little bit of heat. It's not too hot. It's good, though. And I'll tell you this. I'll be completely honest. I love Palmer's. I'm not a fan of pimento cheese, as we've talked about. there's some pimento in this, and I was a little concerned, and it tastes good.
You can't tell.
It's so good.
Yeah.
It doesn't even bug me. And you know me, I'm Mr. Don't Let My Food Touch. This is so good.
Spittle, now will you let those two balls touch?
Yeah, of course.
Okay.
You got to.
Spittle sent us the winners of the Big Tech's Choice Awards, as my wife is already getting prepped for the fair. Best taste went to Dominican Frutera Dog. This savory dish brings an explosion of flavor. What is Frutera cheese?
Oh, I love that.
I need a foodie to help me out with that. And Dominican salami. My wife already out. She was gone. Split open and topped with garlic plantain chips, top secret Dominican sauce, cilantro. The Dominican dog will bring you the best of salty and sweet with the explosion of Dominican flavor. So it looks good, but I don't know what that cheese is. Russo's cotton candy bacon on a stick, self-explanatory. Texas Sugar Rush pickles. Pickle slices are coated in three cereal varieties. Lucky Charms, Fruit Loops, and Cap'n Crunch. And then layered in cotton candy, sugar crystals, and powdered sugar before being drizzled with strawberry sundae syrup. This is combined with pickles. Are you willing to try that? Bob, I'm not hearing you.
I am not, because I don't touch pickles. Now, if it's...
That one, most creative, the sweet one, the candy with the bacon, cotton candy with the bacon one, best taste.
It's one of those where... pickles, I think I told you this the other day. Pickles and olives. Like, those are the ones that if that's in something, I can't. It's a bridge too far. I can't do it. And so, pickles. Now, I'm going to have to. If it's like every other year where they bring in the food, I feel like, every year in the morning show, I'm going to have to try it. And it pushed my boundaries last year. I liked all of it. There was stuff I would not eat normally. The deep-fried pho, which I had never had. I'd never had pho, period. And I didn't know what it was, actually, for a long time. And when I tried that... That was good, and that expanded my taste. This expanded my taste today. I will say, just by tasting this, that all better be some of the best food I've ever eaten. Otherwise, Palmer got ripped off, I feel like.
What do you mean?
Because this is so good. He was one of the finalists.
Yeah, he was one of the finalists.
He was one of the finalists. I will say, after looking at the judges panel, I think there might have been a little bit of a conspiracy. I'm not going to say who all was on the judges panel, but I think you can connect dots.
I think you're getting the judges panel wrong. Are you talking about what I sent you last night?
No. Oh. Different thing.
I thought you were talking about Derek Holland was judging the Hooters contest.
What a surprise.
And then you said conspiracy, so I thought you were referring. I'm like, Bobby, wrong contest.
No. I saw the judges included that individual, and I think they're trying to stop our guy from shining.
All right, so this is the Expressway. We're commercial free. Let's knock out some NFL power rankings. Last week, thankfully, a preseason football, Cowboys, Chargers tomorrow, and then we will get to the junk drawer.
Yeah, which direction would you like to go with these? Would you like to go NFL power rankings? Would you like to do the rankings of the offenses and defenses from the Ringer?
Power. Just go power 1 through 10.
Let's go straight power rankings. These are from ESPN. They had their writers come together and vote on the NFL power rankings ahead of the regular season. The number one team in the NFL is, and I'm going to turn my computer so you can't see it.
Kansas City.
Oh, good job. Good job, Sean Sharif. Kansas City Chiefs are number one. They have each team ranked, and then the person.
What is that shirt that Jay Ochoa has? Tolos Keep It Sick. 105 through the fan. This guy. It's the 530 weightlifter.
Yeah, he's got every time he comes out here with a shirt that I never knew we created. And maybe we didn't create that one. I don't know. The Kansas City Chiefs, number one. And then they've got who's on the hot seat for each team. On the hot seat, Rashee Rice. Might be legitimately on the witness stand here soon. Number two. Who you got?
Number two, San Fran.
No. It is the Baltimore Ravens at number two. I think that's a little much. To me, there's no doubt you've got San Francisco and Kansas City as, until anybody proves otherwise, those are the top two teams. They got Ronnie.
Who voted on this?
All the ESPN beat writers voted on this. Dan Orlovsky was not in here to ruin this, so I can't completely explain it. Number three.
San Fran.
The San Francisco 49ers. The person on the hot seat is Deebo Samuel. Obviously, with Brandon Ayuk potentially being pushed out, his time coming to an end, there's going to be a lot of pressure on Deebo Samuel, who's already been paid, to really show up. Number four.
I feel like I'm going to go to the... Is it NFC?
Yes.
Is it Is it Detroit?
It is Detroit.
Wow.
This upcoming season could...
Is this Detroit Lions separation from us really deserved? Like, the Cowboys did beat them.
Did you feel like they should have, though?
There was controversy.
Yeah, but even without that controversial play, I feel like they played better than Dallas.
Okay. I mean, I don't think it was like... I was drinking at a game. more difficult for me to judge. But I wasn't thinking, wow, they're definitely better.
Yeah, I mean, I think that they are – I would put them above Dallas right now. I don't think it's like a wide – or at least the team last year was not a wide chasm. Now, does Dallas' depth getting decimated affect it? Potentially. Number five on this list.
Is it AFC?
NFC.
Don't tell me it's not Green Bay.
No.
Philly.
Yep. The Philadelphia Eagles. The person on the hot seat there, of course, Nick Sirianni, who apparently can't talk to Jalen Hurts without a mediator, as we heard about a couple weeks ago. Number six is an AFC team.
By the way, before I name the AFC team or guess, are we having an AFC-NFC switch here?
I remember
the last 2 years, all we've talked about is AFC dominance, quarterbacks, greatest division of all time, AFC West. We just sprinkled in NFC teams right there.
Yeah, I think that people feel like Detroit and San Francisco have built really strong overall teams. We already know Dallas has been in contention just about every year. And then people are really high on what Green Bay is doing right now. And so, I mean, I think it's starting to balance a little bit more.
I'm going to guess they say Buffalo.
No.
Is it Houston?
It is Houston. The
wow.
Houston Texans with Stephon Diggs on a one-year deal. He is on the hot seat. Number seven.
What conference?
AFC.
Buffalo.
Buffalo, correct. Sean McDermott on the hot season there or seat there. Number eight and nine are AFC teams.
Cincy and Miami?
In that order?
Cincy, Miami. I'll go, yeah, Cincy, Miami in that order.
Flip it. It's Miami at eight, Cincinnati at nine. And then number 10 is an NFC team.
There's so much Rams love. I'm going to guess the Cowboys.
It's the Green Bay Packers. And here's what I think is most hilarious about this ranking. Who's on the hot seat? The person on the hot seat is kicker Anders Carlson. Carlson is in a battle with veteran Greg Joseph, who's been, like, okay, I'm sorry. We love Rob Domofsky. He was good when we had him on at the station a couple years ago. You can't legitimately tell me that the person under the most pressure right now
yeah.
is your kicker who's in a competition with a veteran.
We're just that good everywhere else.
And then number 11 on this list is the Dallas Cowboys. They are number 11, just outside the top 10. The person on the hot seat, according to Todd Archer, is Jerry Jones.
Yeah, real hot seat.
This is the write-up. He says the easy answer is Mike McCarthy, maybe quarterback Dak Prescott too. Nothing that happens this year will impact Jones' status as the owner and general manager, but he has a lot on the line with how he constructed this year's team. Prescott is months from being a free agent. McCarthy and his coaching staff are on one-year deals. If the Cowboys falter, Jones will likely be starting all over, 29 years removed from the Cowboys' last Super Bowl appearance. While the Cowboys said their season ticket renewal was at more than 99%, according to Jones, the size of the crowds at training camp have been smaller, and anger with the organization seems to be higher than ever.
Commercial-free, Expressway. Look at this stylish individual, Tolo Eric. Look at him walking up with his capri pants.
Oh, he's ready. He said he was going to come up here and fight both of us for letting all the flasks be given away.
Is the flask gone?
The flasks are gone.
Flask done and over with. We probably shouldn't have said that out loud. but we do have – I want him to judge this baking. This is a baking aspect of this Palmer's dish out here with the dough, the powdered sugar, the syrup. So let's see if he enjoys that. But Arias, he's looking fresh. Looking fresh rolling up here. Let's get to the junk drawer.
Did you know that Benjamin Franklin invented the junk drawer?
Junk it!
All right, let's clean up what we missed out on during the course of the week and whatever else came up last night here on Sean and Bobby. And that would include Bobby dying to talk about the Democratic National Convention.
That is not accurate at all. That is not what I said I wanted to talk about.
I told myself I was not going to watch it last night because I've already heard Kamala Harris speak plenty of times. And then they suckered me into thinking that President Bush was going to, the surprise guest. It was either going to be President Bush, Beyonce, or Taylor Swift, and it was a big fat over three.
Was there no surprise guest? That's weak. If you're going to try and pull people, and you got to at least pay off there. We talked yesterday.
By the way, I think it was Chris Cuomo saying those suites that all the TV outlets are broadcasting from are like $500,000 to $1 million for that outlet network to have to pay for.
Jeez.
$500,000 at least.
Economic stimulus, I guess. I don't know. All right. So we talked yesterday at 8:20 about the article from Salon that said, look, this election is going to be determined by the Kamala Harris supporting women who are afraid to tell their husbands who support Trump that they're voting for. And I said, I don't know if this is real. I don't think that this is a real demographic that like is enough to say it's along with independents gonna have an impact in that sort of way. Well, now we have proof that they were lying. Over at SciPost.org, they reference new analysis and new research over from the Journal of Personality and Social Psychology that says 8% of couples are Republican and Democrat split. Otherwise, it's a whole bunch of Republican and they're either Republican.
So 92% of couples believe in the same party.
So the only little variance here is independents. There are independents don't marry independents or be in relationships with independents. A lot of them are in relationships with Democrats or Republicans. I would imagine they still lean that direction, though, even if
they
are.
And why would that not lead you to believe that yesterday's study was true, that 92% are the same political belief, so that if they change their mind to Harris, they'd be scared to admit it to their spouse?
Because the idea being that it would be more along the lines of when they describe that. Salam was not talking about Republican women who are voting for Kamala or Democrat men who are voting for Trump. That's not what they were talking about. They were talking about like undecided voters who are in these relationships and the mushy middle. That it's the independent women who are now. They're talking more about the independents who might be married to a Republican, I guess. But Republican Party, only 8% of Republican and Democrat split in the household, and I do think that the bipartisan marriages are dead. You don't see those really. Any couple I know, I don't really know of any bipartisan marriages. Maybe one or two, but I mean, they're very loose bipartisan marriages.
Is yours exactly the same belief?
No, not dead on. But I mean, probably it's close. It's just it's not exactly the same.
Pepe, are you and Mackenzie the same when it comes to all this?
Yes. Yep.
Okay.
Did you know that when you date, like, would that have been a deal breaker if you weren't
for either of you?
No, because I'm not into politics all that much, so I don't think so. But I mean, she's from Alabama, so I knew ahead of time.
what are you trying to get at? I don't.
Nothing.
I don't know
no,
what you're
no, no.
Here.
Back to you, Bobby.
Is Alabama red or blue, Bobby?
It's red.
They're not blue.
yeah. No, it's stars and bars down there, bro. All right. We're doing the junk drawer here in the expressway. Let's talk about cocaine. Let's discuss some cocaine. This was
we already had explained strippers to some poor kid out here earlier.
This was a topic a couple weeks ago when Peyton Russell mentioned in the payload all the coked up sharks in the ocean, that the sharks who were running into packages of cocaine under the water that were attempting to be smuggled into the U.S. were found to have like 150 times more the concentration of it in their system than other like underwater creatures. And that sounded to me like they just liked it and they were probably going back for more, whereas others just kind of accidentally ran into it.
Here's my question about cocaine. Mm-hmm. All right, because I love Narcos, obsessed with it. And back then, you're like, okay, I see how they were distributing it and they were ahead of the police and, you know, I see how their plan worked.
Yeah.
Will we look back on movies like 50 years from now about how it's distributed today and say the same thing? Or are there just such crazy creative ways that drug dealers are going about it that it would blow our minds? Or we'd be like, okay, that makes sense. I see. They're just a step ahead.
Yeah, some of it. I think what you would see is you'd see some of that's like, oh, that's a really mind-blowing, forward-thinking way. I think in other ways you're going to go, oh, that was right in front of our eyes. And then in other ways I think you're going to go, oh, cash is king. If you have enough money and can pay the right people, they're going to let you do what you want. And I think that that'll be a lot of what we see. But there was a ton of cocaine that washed up on the beaches of Florida following Hurricane Debbie recently. In fact, $1.6 million worth of cocaine washed ashore in Miami. The story says that someone alerted, they called him a Good Samaritan, alerted police, alerted authorities to, hey, there's a bunch of packages of cocaine out here on the ocean or on the beach grounds, and y'all need to come get it. As you can see here, that's what it looked like right there. Those are the packages of cocaine. Looks like there's an arrowhead on the top of them or something, some logo. But here's my question. There's no chance that before this person called that they didn't put one of those packages in their car, right? They absolutely did that.
I mean, I wouldn't.
I think that...
You wouldn't.
But
you'd be terrified. I'd be terrified.
Okay,
I don't want to drive around with a bag of coke. I don't know who to give it to. I'm not going to consume it.
You're missing the important context here. This is Miami. Okay.
Oh, so everyone in Miami is a cokehead.
Yes. Wow. Welcome to 2024, Sean. They all know where to sell it. They all know how to move it. They all have infrastructure.
It sounds like a little bit of a dangerous stereotype you're kind of going in.
The Miami cocaine stereotype? I don't think that's
not
what
everyone in Miami. Oh, dude, did you ride a horse here?
Raise your hand if you've heard the Miami cocaine stereotype, please.
No, it's
all right. Thank you.
I've heard it, you nimwit. I'm just saying, I don't think you should say, oh, yeah, everyone there does coke. It's definite, no doubt about it. Everyone in Missouri I know is meth head. All their houses blow up. But go ahead. You go ahead.
So I'm just saying, I think that given the... I'm surprised this wasn't picked up by somebody, though. Even if it wasn't this one person, that somebody doesn't just pick it up and go like, all right, well, I'm just going to take one of these, and then I'll make the call, and I'll figure out how to move this myself. $1.6 million for 20 packages there? You're looking at a decent amount of cash if you can move one of those. I don't think that that's... too out of the realm of possibility to think that that's how people felt about it.
More stereotypes to come during the rest of the morning show. We got 2 hours to go, and we have a concert ticket giveaway for the Tolos who rolled out here to Saxy. So we got breakfast, we got the coffee, we got the glasses, and we have concert tickets to hook you up with as well, courtesy of Jack FM, along with your college football preview. Maybe you're not waiting for the first weekend of the NFL season. Maybe this weekend is your beginning. The College Football Kegger, next on Sean and RJ.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not-so-good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique, and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whoops. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.